What are you going to say? What is your name?
My name is Robert Anthony Fingers.
Okay. Who has Mr. Fingers?
Fingers.
You have him? Okay, the Honorable David Mills will be conducting your hearing, so his will be the next voice that you hear.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you state your full name and AEC number for the record, please?
Yes, sir. My name is Robert Anthony Fingers, and my DOC number is 096965, sir.
Thank you, sir. You're preparing for the Oregon Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to your community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. On the screen to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson, then the Honorable Gail Littenhouse, then on the far right we have the Honorable Louis Quinones. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead today. Also in the room with us today, we have the Honorable Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising you of the board hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes, sir. That was executive clemency.
Right. The one that notified you of the hearing. Okay, on that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself, sir.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to swear to you and Mr. Turner in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, sir. Yes, I sure do, sir.
I do.
The hearing will be conducted in two phases today, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the two allegations that are on your warrant. And after each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true, false, or if you wish to plead the Fifth Amendment. And the reason for the Fifth Amendment is showing a police report number on your warrant, so there could possibly be pending charges. This is a recorded hearing, and anything you say here could be used against you in a court of law for criminal charges, so we'll give you that opportunity, okay?
Yes, Your
Honor. All right, so allegation number one is violation of early condition of supervision number five as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaulting behavior on or about October 26, 2018 on the northeast corner of 16th Street and Buckeye Road in Phoenix, Arizona. Is that true, false, or do you wish to plead the Fifth, sir?
I engaged in assaulting behavior, yes, I did.
Okay. All right. In phase two, you'll have an opportunity to explain what was going on with that, okay?
Yes, sir. Okay. I just want to tell my side of the story to
right.
you, sir.
Right, yeah. In phase two, that's when we'll do that, okay? So hang on. Allegation number two is a violation of order and condition of supervision number seven, as demonstrated by our use of alcohol on or about October 26, 2018, per the alcohol sensor 3 and toximeter reading on October 20th, 2018. Is that one true or false, sir?
That is false, sir. I did not consume any
time. Okay. All right. Because you say it's false, Mr. Turner is going to read the allegation, and we'll go from there. Mr. Turner?
Yes, sir. Allegation number two. On 10/25/2016, the offender was released on TIS status and transported to Phoenix Parole Office for his initial intake. During the intake, the offender read, signed, and received a copy of his Arizona conditions of supervision to include a copy of his standard conditions of supervision, which stated the offender is not to use or be in possession of any type of alcohol beverages. On 10/26/2018, CCO Van Gundy, CCO Pope, CCO Phillips, Parole Supervisor Fleshman, and Senior Parole Officer Pareda filled the offender's GPS points and contacted the offender on a Burger King fast food restaurant located at the southwest corner of 16th Street and Buckeye Road in Phoenix, Arizona. During the contact, the offender spoke with a slurred speech, Community corrections staff observed the offender's eyes were bloodshot and watery. CCO Van Gundy questioned the offender as to if he had any ingested any intoxicant beverages, and the offender adamantly denied ingesting any intoxicating beverages. Even after further questioning, he continued to deny drinking intoxicating beverages. Two alcohol sensor 3 breath tests were administered on the offender from two different machines. First reading showed a level of 0.044 breath alcohol content, BAC, and the second showed a level of 0.061 BAC. Even after the second breath test were administered showing positive readings, the offender continued to be dishonest and denied he ingested any intoxicating beverages. Follow-up number 2, on 10-26-2018, CCO Van Gundy questioned another offender who was also residing homeless with the offender. I don't have that. That part is missing. Give me just a minute, and I'll see if I can pull it up in the database. On 10-26-2018, CCO Van Gundy questioned another offender who was also residing homeless with the offender, who stated that offender Femmers had bought a fifth of Fireball and had been consuming it throughout the night.
Thank you, sir. So what's false about that, sir?
Sir, I never changed anything. I didn't have those fifth of liquor, and I sure as hell wasn't drinking on Fireball.
Okay, well, can you explain why the breathalyzers indicated you had intoxicated alcoholic beverages?
Do you only think, sir, is this is what happened? When they first have you go into the thing, it registered 000. The second time, it registered 000. The third time they made me do it, it blew a 6.1 or something like that. If that were the case, Your Honor, I would have been in a hospital. The only thing that I did that day was I took my meds, because I'm messing mine.
All right.
That was the only thing that...
What kind of meds do you take? There's no doubt.
I take some very heavy medication. I take Zyprexa, I take Trulfan, I take Cotentin, and I take Zoloft.
Well, none of those cause an alcoholic bleeding.
That's what I'm saying, so I even told him.
Well, one of your fellow homeless people that were out there said that you were drinking Fireball all night.
Okay,
I'm going to move this into phase two, and we'll discuss a little bit more. Based on the admissions of Mr. Fenders for the allegation number 1 and information from the Department of Corrections on allegation number 2 and all of the information, 1 of 2018W3119, I'm going to find that Mr. Fenders was delinquent under the violated term condition of the supervision, and he had lapsed or was not lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Canales, agreed by Mr. Johnson, Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, so we're going to move into phase two in a moment, but before we move along, Mr. Turner is going to give some background information. And so stay on the phone, and I'll get right back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Fenders was released from ABC custody on 10-25-2018. And arrested on 10-26-2018 by ADC on a tech violation. No new charges noted at that time. He's returned back to ADC custody on 10-26-2018 with the CSED of 2/24/2019, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2016, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1992, commitment A, count 6, shock incarceration, 3 months, 29 days. 1992, commitment B, count 1, endangerment, 1 year, 10 months, 15 days. 1995, sexual abuse, 7 years, 6 months. 2005, commitment D, count 1, misconduct involving weapons, 10 years. 2005, commitment D, count 2, misconduct involving weapons, 10 years. This is his fifth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 5.5. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. STG information, self-admitted to being a member of the Criminal Street Gang Southside Posse Bloods. Prior terms of supervision, 1994, temporary release, absconded 5 days, arrested, administratively revoked. 2002, TIS release, arrested, tech violation, revoked by BOEC. 2014, TIS release, arrested, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with extortion, fighting, possession of contraband, drugs, threatening with harm, conspiracy, disorderly conduct, assault on an inmate, promoting prison contraband, and criminal damage noted. Other arrest, 1986, burglary, Arizona juvenile probation. 1987, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1987, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile probation. He has a GV score of G6V8. They do not have the status of charges.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Federer, I'm going to go over summary of the case supervision. Seems on October 25th, 2018, you were released without an approved placement. You were approved to reside homeless on the northeast corner of 16th Street and Buckeye Road in Phoenix, Arizona. And you were arrested the next day, so I'm not going to ask you about employment and whether you were assigned a task. Your PIN number didn't come up, so there was no UAs.
That's actually what started the altercation with. I asked two people, I was on the corner sitting at the bus stop or like some cement bunk that was sitting there, and I was in my prison blues, and these two people walked up, they were picking up barricades right on the truck, and all I did was ask them, I said, how can I get a job working with you guys? And one of the guys turned around and looked at me and he said, we do not hire. I don't want to say the words that he told me. Is that okay if I say what he said?
No, that's fine. So basically,
he called me a piece of shit, and he said, who hire pieces of shit like you? And I asked him, I said, what do you mean by that? And he goes, you don't hit the fuck you want, you fucking trouble. He punched me in the face. Now, when that inmate and when that person punched me in the face, I stood up and I asked him, and I'm dancing around trying to get away from him. His other partner came running at me and swung at me. And I didn't know who was who. So they said that I punched one of them and that I took off running. I don't even remember speaking at anybody, sir. I was in fear of my life. I'm FMI, I'm registered sex offender, they put me on a street corner in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm from Tucson. I should have never been on that street corner.
Okay, but you go, sir. There are a considerable number of inmates released on community supervision that don't have placement, and they're placed in that same vicinity as you, and they don't seem to have these problems. So, okay, so all right, so you were on the corner. You
had $1,049 on my books. I asked the parole officer, get that gun to you, if I could be placed into a halfway house. He stated that he could not put me in a halfway house because of Parsons vs. Ryan, that if my people can
sir,
halfway houses.
Sir.
I tried everything I could to not be put on that.
Okay, sir. All right, you have some problems, and there are rules at different halfway houses, okay? And some halfway houses won't take you if you're sick. Some won't take you you know, sicking on medication. Some of them won't take you if you're a sex offender. Some of them won't take you if you're SMI. So they, as far as placement goes, there's a limited number of beds, and they can't, you know, there's a choice of letting you out on time and being homeless or leaving you behind bars. So anyway, let's keep beyond that, because, okay, sir, that's still no excuse for having a fight with somebody, okay? And let's get down to the other issue. The issue about the alcohol.
You're not going to the scene. You're not even letting me drive my car. I was the one that was doing the attack. I was the
sir, one. Calm down. Calm down.
Mr. Fingers,
sir.
Mr. Fingers.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Fingers.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to remain calm while we conduct the hearing, okay, sir?
Sir, yes, sir, I understand, sir, but I'm not being over the cab that happened. I was assaulted, sir.
We heard...
I was doing nothing wrong, and I was assaulted. And then and I tried going to the registration office, and I tried reporting it, but then he called my parole officer to tell him that I had been assaulted for a hate crime. I was called a child molester and punched in the face. That is a hate crime. And I'm the one over here sitting here in trouble now. And nobody filed charges on my behalf, and nobody ever did anything, sir. I'm the victim here. I'm SMI. I have $1,039 on my release card. I tried to go to a halfway house, sir. I tried to get a more talent, and I was denied by my parole officer. And I was stuck in October in a dirt lot with no restroom, nowhere to use a restroom or anything, sir. I'm a freaking animal. That's the truth. That's what started all this. I'm from Tucson, Arizona, and I was forced to reside in Phoenix, Arizona, sir. And I knew nobody, and the parole officers knew that I knew nobody in Phoenix.
Sir? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Let's... Okay.
I'm going to get out, and I'm going to sue.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm recording.
Can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Mr. Fiebenis?
Yes, sir.
I have a question for you, and I'm going to believe you, but why did the construction workers know that you were a registrable sex offender? Did you tell them that before, or how did it come to that?
No, sir, I was wearing a baby blue shirt with prison blues, and I was sitting on the corner, and from what I understand, there was other registered sex offenders on that corner. And I'm guessing that they've been having problems with them, because parole officer Brett Van Gundy had told me that he did not want, that he was putting me on that registered corner because they have been assaulting sex offenders throughout Phoenix that were registered on street corners.
Mr. Fiebenis, I'm just asking you to account for it. I'm listening to you, but like, if you can like tone it down a little bit so that we can understand you, I'm listening to you.
My PTSD starts kicking in, and I start reliving that incident, and it hurt.
Well, thank you for your response, Mr. Fiebenis. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Okay, Mr. Fiebenis, what I was going to say about your charges. The Phoenix Police Department came out?
No, nobody. I never talked to nobody. This is what happened, sir.
Okay, well, just sir. Just please, sir. Sir, please answer the questions, okay? And not.
Nobody came out, sir.
Okay, so there wouldn't, if the police didn't come out, then as far as you know, there's no charges against you for
yeah,
that? Okay.
Sure.
All right, well, there's no charges against you with the police, and there's apparently no charges against the other guys. Okay?
Sir. It's okay for them to beat me up, is what you're saying.
Sir?
Okay, sir.
Sir.
I'm crazy, and I could be victimized, and that's okay with you guys, right?
Sir, I'm willing to be in your hearing right now, okay? But you need to quit making accusations about how we think and how we make our decisions, because you know, we don't have a foregone conclusion about this. But your behavior is sinking you really, really fast. Okay? All right, let's discuss the alcohol a little bit, okay? They did the breathalyzers according to the information I have. You blew twice, and they both had an amount of alcohol showing on your breath. Now, I've been around this for years and years and years and years, and if you don't, it's real easy to get a goose egg reading, a 0-0 reading, when you're very intoxicated, and people have learned how to do that. So, wait a minute, sir. Excuse me. So if you blow, and if they smell alcohol, and they have you blow one of those, they normally. Okay, sir. Would you like to finish this right now?
Yeah, I'm done. You don't even know what you guys are doing to me right now, sir. I'm a victim here. I tried to press charges against these individuals that did this to me. So I hate crime.
Okay, sir.
You guys are just pressing this under the rug because of the Department of Corrections.
Mr. Fenders? Mr. Fenders? I'm going to make a motion right now, and the board is not going to accept your disruptive behavior. Okay, so based on all the information in warrant number 2018W3119, Mr. Fembris's testimony and Mr. Fembris's behavior, I'm going to move to revoke the duty of supervision of Mr. Fembris as he was delinquent, violated term of conditional supervision, and have acts as about to lapse in criminal ways or company.
No.
Second.
So, Joe, this is a joke.
Okay, would you put the CO3 light on the phone, please, sir?
Yes, sir.
Did you give him the when this
did you agree or disagree?
Agree.
Okay.
Did you give him
the CO3 to work?
Has released it.
Sir?
Okay, sir, we're down with. Did you want to say something to him, David?
No.
Okay, so we're done with that hearing. You can bring the next one in.
Okay.